Welcome to our little podcast. And today I want to kind of go over a special occasion that today, November 10th, actually marks, which is a memorial of St. Leo the Great, who was a pope and doctor of the church. Before I do that, I do want to thank you all for at least stopping by and giving us a listen today. For those of you who are patrons of this program, I want to give a special shout out to y'all and thank you for your continued help and support in keeping this podcast advertisement free. One of the ways in which you do that is through our little patron page, which is basically patron.podbeam.com/dtesh. I'll have a link down in the section below so that you can click on that if you want to add in a $5 amount per month to help keep this podcast going and allow us to be able to eventually get better equipment and also do more with this podcast to be able to help people. What I'm looking for right now is trying to get an initial support of about 2,000 people who are at least giving $5 a month so that there's kind of a stability there that allows this particular podcast to move forward and be able to take care of the different things that are related to it, both on the advertising side and on the actual production, and a few other nicks and crannies in there too as well. But pretty much it's just being able to do it. One of the benefits of being an additional $5 a month supporter is you will have access to additional podcasts that will be geared towards helping you understand how to pray more effectively and different lessons along those lines, more or less to help you grow spiritually. I have a few up right now already, and in the next couple of weeks I'm going to be adding a lot more. My goal is to try to get those before the end of the year, God willing, somewhere around 30 to 40 different podcasts so that you can spend time to really dig deep into prayer. And if I can really get it to the time to put together for stuff, I'd like to have a total of about 60 of them so that you can kind of go through, practice different ways of understanding prayer for yourself and really get into how to become a real prayer warrior and be the kind of person that makes you a possible saint in the future that people will recognize. But, you know, that's kind of where that is. And once again, that is at patron.podbeam.com/dtesh. And that's where you can sign up for the support. If you're on our web broadcast, there's a section in there where you can click on the patron program. It allows you to become a supporter. And if you want to listen to these extra broadcasts that I do have available, it's just a matter of making sure you have a minimum of a $5 a month commitment every month. That's 60 a year, which if I can get the full 60 to 70 different broadcasts, that's basically a dollar per broadcast is kind of the ultimate goal that I'm trying to get to in the next couple of weeks. And once I get there, I'll probably add in kind of a weekly report or maybe a bi-weekly report to kind of give you an update on where things stand with the ministry and keep things going from there. But that's just merely so you get that in and out of the way. And once again, for those who are doing that, I do thank you because it does help every little bit. Helps me to be able to move forward and get the word out about what we're doing here in this particular podcast. And once again, today's podcast is going to be focused on understanding a man in the church who was a leader. He was a pope at one time by the name of Saint Leo the Great. And he's also one of the doctors, which means he's one of the teachers of the church. He was one of those who's considered to be one of the true pastors. And basically, he was a very intense person wanting salvation for all that he met. He labored very strenuously to make sure that the Christian faith, as it was known at that time, was basically the true faith at all times for everybody. And he defended the unity of the church, basically pointing out that Christ formed a church. He didn't form many churches. He didn't form multi-churches. And it kind of bases upon his understanding of Paul writing in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the many members of the body of Christ, but still there's only one body of Christ. And this was kind of something that St. Leo the Great basically wrote about, which became the sermon for today in the Office of Readings. If you're not familiar with what the Office of Readings is, it's basically the Office of Readings is one of the daily office prayers that every priest, deacon, and religious pray every day, about seven times a day. Comes from the monastery prayer life of the church, that gives kind of a universality of what is being prayed for. It's not like a private devotion. It is a liturgical devotion, much like Mass. In a lot of senses, if you're not able to go to Mass on a day, this is a very good way to still be active and learn from the faith. And in the second reading, you get this sermon on St. Leo the Great, who was a pope, where he basically talks about how we're ministers of a special calling. The reading, I'll read it first and then I'll comment on it. The reading goes as follows. Although the universal Church of God is constructed of distinct orders of members, still, in spite of the many parts of its holy body, the Church subsists as an integral whole. Just as the Apostle says, we are all one in Christ, nor is anyone separated from the office of another in such a way that a lower group has no connection with the head. In the unity of faith and baptism, our community is then undivided. There is a common dignity, as the Apostle Paul says in these words, and you are built up as living stones into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And again, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of election. For all, regenerated in Christ, are made kings by the sign of the cross. They are consecrated priests by the oil of the Holy Spirit, so that beyond the special service of our ministry as priests, all the spiritual and mature Christians know that they are a royal race and are sharers in the office of the priesthood. For what is more king-like than to find yourself ruler over your body after having surrendered your soul to God? And what is more priestly than to promise to the Lord through a pure conscience and to offer him in love an unblemished victim on the altar of one's heart? Because through the grace of God, it is a deed accomplished universally on behalf of all. It is altogether praiseworthy and in keeping with a religious attitude for you, and to rejoice to this our day of consecration, to consider it a day when we are especially honored. For indeed, one sacramental priesthood is celebrated throughout the entire body of the church. The oil which consecrates as has richer effects in the higher grades, yet is not sparingly given in the lower. Sharing in this office, dear brethren, we have a solid ground for a common rejoicing. Yet there will be more genuine and excellent reason for joy if you do not dwell on the thought of your unworthiness. It is more helpful and more suitable to turn your thoughts to study the glory and blessed Apostle Peter. We should celebrate this day above all in honor of him. He overflowed with the abundant riches from the very source of all graces, yet, though he alone received much, nothing was given over to him without his sharing it. The Word was made flesh and lived among us, and in redeeming the whole human race, Christ gave himself entirely. Now, when we look at these words that the Pope writes to us, there's a couple things that come out that we can apply to our own personal lives. In the current series that I'm working with, I'm basically promoting and trying to get you to understand just what it is to be a member of the body of Christ as a branch on the vine. And this here is kind of something that still moves forward in all these little teachings and really begins to take root, because we are members of the body of Christ. We're members of the universal church in a distinct way. You are distinct from me, I'm distinct from you, but we're all together members of that same body. We're members as branches on the vine. And as such, there is a unity in Christ, as the Pope tries to write to us through the centuries since he has passed. And he points to the Apostle Paul as saying that we are all one in Christ. And this here is just reminding that just because there are many members in the body of Christ, as 1 Corinthians 12 points out to us, we're not separated from each other. You can't say to the eye, you're not of the body because you're not a hand, or you're not of the body because you're not an ear. We're all parts. We're all united to each other. And it's because we are part of this unique body that we share a common situation one with another. One is that we are all one in Christ, and we're not separated from the office of one another. There's nothing that's lower that's not given some kind of magnificence in God's eyes, and therefore we kind of relate one to another in that way. And this is what the unity of faith and baptism was supposed to bring us into. It was a community that was undivided. We don't go into a mass or into a service and see individuals that we don't like. We go into there and we see members of our own unity with Christ. And that's kind of where we begin with our change attitude toward one another, as we start seeing each other as members of that body, one to another. And that's where everything just kind of fits together. As members of the body of Christ, we fit together as live stones of a spiritual house. That spiritual house kind of takes us a little bit further from the readings that we had yesterday, considering St. John's Lateran Basilica, where the Pope is the primary priest, if you will, of that particular basilica. It's also the seat of Peter that's recognized by the church as the church that is Peter's church. It's kind of like when you are in a diocese, the cathedral is the seat of that diocese. Well, the seat of the entire Catholic Church is the St. John Lateran. But the point of having that church is not to see a disunity or as something beyond us, but as seeing that which unites us. It's kind of like if we were really thinking about the flag of the United States in the sense that it has been promoted for years and not currently with the current kneeling controversy that's been going on, it was supposed to be the symbol of uniting us. The history of flags is when you see a flag in battle, it's like having banners in battle. It shows you where your guys are so that you can join them in the fight. And it was supposed to be a thing to rally around. That's why we pledged allegiance to the flag for years and stuff like that. But when we see Christ and when we're in church, we're supposed to recognize that Christ the vine is who unites us one to another as a spiritual house. And together we all are part of a holy priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. It's a royal priesthood because we're not just simply priests, we're kings and priests. And this is a little bit different than the priesthood that is given to the individuals who lead the service as priests do in the Catholic faith. There's a difference in the role that goes with what each person is. And it is a role that is specifically set aside for a man to have in the Catholic faith as a spiritual leader, but it does not diminish the individual priesthood of every member of the body of Christ. So it's very important that we get this idea that as the Pope was trying to write and give a sermon to his people in his day, back in the 400s, is that everyone who's regenerated in Christ is made a king by the sign of the cross. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in the sign of the cross. And we are consecrated as priests by the oil of the Holy Spirit, because there's oil that's applied to the baby or to the individual of chrism oil during the moment of baptism. In the old day, it was a sign of confirmation as well as baptism, because they were united as one sacrament. Nowadays, confirmation comes separate and has in more recent years become more of a desire for the church to have it ordered prior to receiving Holy Communion, to show that there's an ongoing relationship with Christ. But it's this oil that's put on a child during baptism that makes him a priest. Now, what makes you and I a priest? What makes you and I a priest is the fact that we're able to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, we're told to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's our duty. And to daily renew our minds. As we do that, we basically offer to God something similar to the offering of Christ on the cross. And this is where it all comes into play, is we're basically uniting ourselves with Christ. We're crucified with him. We're living with him. We're dying with him. We are experiencing the passion, death, and resurrection in our everyday lives. And that's what makes us Christian. It's not a one-and-done salvation message to where I'm once saved, always saved, because I said a sinner's prayer, was baptized in 1873 or whenever it was. You want to believe that the past actually wiped away and you're now a new creature in Christ, because you have to live it. You have to bring it forward into the rest of how you live your life. And this is what it's all about. And this is what we're being told by Pope Leo in these writings and in this little sermon that he's trying to give us, is that there is this prevailing power that God has that he makes available to us if we truly abide in Christ and realize that we are also these little priests, these kings, because we can overcome sin. We can overcome the weaknesses that hold us bound, and because there's a grace of God there. And that's kind of the big lesson that needs to be put forth, especially in these days, is that there is grace to live out your vocation. It's a baptismal grace. It's a grace that you have from the very beginning of your walk with God. And it's that grace that makes you a branch on a vine and can bear much fruit. And because of that, I'm thinking that this here is a very important message for us, because we don't always understand that the Word truly was made flesh and dwelt among us, and therefore there should be a change in how we live, act, and think. And because of that, I think we need to have that today as we go forward. And I thank you all for, once again giving me a chance to bring this message to you and to be a little word of encouragement today. And my plan is going forward is to try to get like a daily broadcast going. I have done multiple times during the week, but if things go well, I should be able to get you a broadcast every day from now on out. And I think that'll only help us be able to both grow spiritually and build ourselves up to where we can be the kind of people that are offering the sacrifices as priests of God and as intercessors. And the best way to grow as an intercessor, once again, is to join our patron program. Go through some of these messages that I'm creating for the patron program on how to be a better prayer warrior, how to pray more effectively, get into the understandings of the nuts and bolts of prayer, and to apply how being in Christ as a branch on the vine allows you to be a better prayer person. And that, once again, is at the patron.podbean.com/dtesh link, which you'll find below in the thing. Just give us a little $5 a month pledge. Give us at least a year to try to make it worth your while, because I'm going to try to get multiple podcasts up over the next couple weeks.
And hopefully, as things go forward, we can get a lot more than just the ones that I have planned today, and maybe make it an every week thing so that you're getting an extra broadcast as a result of being one of our supporters, and that you're really growing in the faith and overcoming the sin and temptation that besets so many people. I do thank you for your time, and I do hope that you do have a blessed day, and see you tomorrow.